like to leave with you this morning the words of verse 16. Genesis chapter 9 and verse 16. And the bow shall be in the cloud, and I will look upon it, that I may remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is upon the earth. A few weeks ago, in our morning worship, we considered Noah's first action after he stepped out of the ark. He did not begin to build a house for himself and his family, but rather he built an altar to offer a sacrifice unto the Lord. Genesis 8, verse 20. And Noah builded an altar unto the Lord, and took of every clean beast and of every clean fowl, and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor. And the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground any more for man's sake, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more every thing living as I have done. The Lord, as we have just read, accepted Noah's offering and his sacrifice, and in so doing he made a promise. And the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground any more for man's sake. Because of Noah's sacrifice, the Lord promised to remove the curse and never again to judge the earth by way of a flood. This, of course, is typical of what took place at Calvary. For there a perfect sacrifice was offered, and blood was shed, and God, as a result, has removed the curse of sin from all for whom Christ died. Notice how the curse was removed and blessing was put in its place. For we read in verse 1 of chapter 9. And God blessed Noah and his sons, and said unto them, Be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth. Verse 21 of the previous chapter, the Lord has said, I will not again curse the ground anymore. Then in verse 1 of chapter 9, we read that the Lord blessed Noah. The curse was replaced with a blessing. Through Christ and through His atoning death, the Lord has removed the curse and He has replaced it with a blessing. In fact, the word blessing in Genesis 9, verse 1, is the first time blessing is mentioned since we read it in Genesis 1, verse 28, that God blessed man and woman whom He had made. And now we read in Genesis 9, we don't read a blessing upon man until Genesis 9. What had taken place in between? Man had fallen. And when man fell in his sin, the blessing was replaced with a curse. The curse of sin fell upon man and upon the world. As a result of that, God judged the world by way of a flood. Noah stepped out of the ark and they offered to God a sacrifice. Blood was shed. And on the basis of that sacrifice, God blessed Noah. The curse was removed and it was replaced with a blessing. Through the sacrifice of Christ, the curse has been removed and been replaced with a blessing. We enjoy the blessing of God because Jesus Christ has died and shed His blood. Next, we read in Genesis 9, verse 8, and God spake unto Noah. Here God reveals to Noah what he had already resolved to do. What had God resolved to do? Genesis 8, verse 21. I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake. That's what God had resolved to do. Now in Genesis 9, verse 8, and the following verses, God reveals to Noah what he had already resolved to do. He tells Noah, and I, behold, I establish my covenant with you and with your seed after you. Verse 9 of chapter 9. So here the Lord establishes a covenant with Noah. And that covenant involved that promise the Lord had made that He would no longer, He would never again destroy the earth by way of a flood. And He enters into this covenant with Noah. And He covenants with Noah that the flood would never again cover the face of the earth. It is interesting that the word covenant, we have it here in this chapter. Chapter 9 of Genesis mentioned 7 times in connection with this promise that the earth would never again be covered with a flood or by a flood. 7 times in Genesis 9. It is also mentioned in Genesis 6 and verse 18. There it is mentioned for the first time. And so in all with regard to the covenant and the staying of God's hand with regard to judging the world by means of a flood, you have the word covenant mentioned 8 times. And we know that 8 in Scripture is the number of a new beginning. And so this covenant with Noah marked a new beginning for Noah and his seed. He was able to rest upon this promise that God would never again destroy the world with a flood. And this covenant was made with Noah as he stepped out upon the new earth, which marked the new beginning. Now, the Lord goes on from there, from establishing this covenant with Noah and his seed. The Lord then gave to Noah a token, a reminder, a symbol, a visible symbol, or a visible token of this covenant. We read there in Genesis 9, verse 12, and God said, this is the token. The word token there is the same word translated sign in Genesis 1, verse 14. And God said, this is the token of the covenant. This is the sign of the covenant. This is the symbol of the covenant, which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. What was that token? Verse 13. I do set my bow in the cloud. It shall be for a token, or it shall be for a sign of a covenant. That covenant that Noah, I have made with you. And so lest you forget the covenant, lest you forget my promise, whenever the storm clouds gather and the rain falls and the clouds begin to go away, you will see my bow in the sky. You will see a rainbow. And that rainbow will remind you of the covenant that I have entered into with you and with your seed. And you will know that I will never again cover the earth with a flood. And as the rainbow reminded Noah of his offering and the covenant, so it also would remind us of Christ's sacrifice and the new covenant made with us. Because what we have here is a wonderful and beautiful picture of the covenant of grace. And today as we sit at the table, we will be remembering that covenant of grace. We will remember that sacrifice upon which the covenant is based, upon which the covenant of grace rests, the covenant of grace rests upon what was done at Calvary. So it is in that light that I want to consider this rainbow that the Lord set in the sky, the rainbow that we see in our day and generation. A rainbow that God put in the sky in the days of Noah. And we can see it even today. First of all, let us consider the announcement about the rainbow. After giving to Noah the details of the covenant, God announced to Noah that he would give him a token of that covenant, namely, the rainbow or the bow in the sky. Without a doubt, this covenant in many ways is a covenant of grace. And the rainbow would serve as a reminder of that great truth. Because when you think of the covenant that God entered into with Noah, you cannot help but see the grace of God. The marvelous, infinite, and matchless grace of our God. And we need to be reminded constantly of what the Lord has done for us, and that is why the Lord's table was instituted. This do in remembrance of me. God gave Noah the token, gave him the rainbow to remind him, to keep reminding him of what had taken place and what had been done, and that God had removed the curse and would never again judge the world by way of a flood. And as God gave Noah the rainbow, God has given us the bread and the wine, that we also might remember, lest we forget what God has done for us. We say that the covenant of Noah is typical of the covenant of grace because, first of all, we know that the covenant was instituted by God. It wasn't instituted by man. It wasn't Noah making a covenant with God. No. God instituted, God initiated the covenant that he made with Noah. There is no evidence here in these verses that Noah sought to institute a covenant with God. Look at what God said to Noah each time he mentions the word covenant. Verse 9, And I, behold, I establish my covenant with you. I establish my covenant with you. Look at verse 11. And I will establish my covenant with you. Look at verse 12. And God said, this is the token of the covenant which I make between me and you. Verse 13. I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. The same thing in verse 15. And I will remember my covenant which is between me and you. And again in our text, I may remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is upon the earth. And again he mentions the covenant in verse 17, which I have established between me and all flesh. No proposal came from the lips of Noah. No plan was presented to God by Noah. No, this covenant came not from the heart of man. This covenant was formed and forged in the very heart of God. There at Genesis 8 and verse 21, and the Lord smelled the sweet savour, and the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man. God said in his heart. That's where the covenant began. In the very heart of God. There was nothing in Noah that would prompt God to make this covenant with him. For Noah was a sinner when he went into the ark, and he was a sinner when he came out of the ark. You've only to read on throughout to the end of this chapter 9 to see just how big of a sinner Noah was. Oh, he was a preacher of righteousness. But he was a terrible sinner. Committed terrible sins after he came out of the ark. And so it wasn't because of anything in Noah that God had made this covenant with Noah. No, this covenant was all of grace. All of God. It was God who said, I will no more destroy the earth by a flood. So when God covenanted with Noah to spare him and the world from another flood, that was all of grace. This covenant of sparing mercy sprang spontaneously from the overflowing, ever bounteous and loving heart of God. When that bow would appear in the sky and Noah would be reminded of that mercy, would be reminded of God's loving kindness, he would be reminded of the grace of Jehovah. Noah was given a bow to remind him what God had done. God has given us bread and wine to remind us of what God has done. Because, dear child of God, as we also remember, as we partake of these tokens today, the bread and the wine which speaks to us of the body and the blood of Christ, we will be reminded also of that great covenant of grace. It was drawn up by God and involved His own redeemed people. That covenant that promises that we as God's people, washed in the blood, bought by a price, will never experience the judgment of God. That's a promise based on the sacrifice of Calvary. And it's a covenant, bless the Lord, that will never be broken. As we sit at the table today, let us indeed remember that covenant, that new covenant. For the Lord Himself said, this is the cup of the New Testament, or this is the cup of the new covenant. In my blood this do in remembrance of me. Let us remember then that covenant of grace today. Next, we notice that the covenant was instituted by God. And this covenant is immutable. The Lord told Noah that this covenant would stand forever. Genesis 8 and verse 22, or while the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. The covenant the Lord made with Noah would remain as long as the earth remained. And in verse 11 of chapter 9, the Lord declares, neither shall there any more be a flood to destroy the earth. And here in our text, the covenant is called the everlasting covenant. The world was destroyed by a flood in the days of Noah, but the Lord said it would never happen again. We would say today, has it happened? The answer is no. Oh, there's been many great catastrophes. Different countries have experienced terrible flooding. Thousands of people have lost their lives in floods, but there's never been a worldwide flood since the days of Noah, and there never will be again. How do I know? Because God has declared it in His Word. And He made the covenant with Noah, and with Noah it was an everlasting covenant. And that covenant will never be altered. It will never be removed. It will never be broken. This world will not be destroyed by way of a flood. God has promised that in His covenant. The covenant will stand forever. Just like the covenant of grace. It will stand forever. It will stand forever in spite of our weakness, in spite of our waywardness, yes, in spite of our wickedness. God will not break that covenant that He has made with His people. In spite of our sins, the covenant will stand. Didn't He say to Noah, in the covenant He made with him, that it would be an everlasting covenant? And then we read there in verse 21 of Genesis 9 concerning Noah, and he drank of the wine and was drunken, and he was uncovered within his tent, that led to even greater sin. But did it affect the covenant? Because of Noah's sin, did God then destroy the world again with a flood? No. The covenant stood. Just like the covenant of grace. The covenant of grace is everlasting. Based upon the finished work and the shed blood of Christ. And all who are trusting in Jesus Christ and are sheltered beneath the blood and are washed in the blood, God has entered into a covenant with us, and it's everlasting, and it's the covenant of grace. We did not deserve that covenant of grace. You turn, please, to 2 Samuel 23. There in 2 Samuel 23, David makes reference to that covenant in his last words. 2 Samuel 23, verse 1, now these be the last words of David. There in verse 5, David declares, although my house be not so with God, there are things in my house and my home that are not right. Though my house be not so with God. Did God break His covenant with David because things were not right in his home and in his family? Did God break His covenant with David because of David's weakness? We read on. Yet He hath made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure. For this is all my salvation and all my desire, although He make it not to grow. We rejoice that while we may at times be like David, we may at times say with David, even though my house be not so with God, yet, believer, we can rejoice in this fact that our behavior will not change the everlasting covenant of grace. We're saved today, and we'll be saved tomorrow, and we'll be saved for all eternity. The everlasting covenant will stand sure. In spite of our weaknesses, in spite of our wickedness, in spite of our waywardness, in spite of our wandering from God, this covenant of grace is everlasting. Hebrews 13. Verse 20, Apostle Paul, Hebrews 13, verse 20, states, now the God of peace, brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. Just as Noah's covenant was based upon the blood of the sacrifice, so the everlasting covenant of grace that we enjoy today is based upon the blood of the Savior, the blood of Jesus Christ, the blood of the everlasting covenant. That covenant that God made with us through Jesus Christ will never be broken. He has promised never to cast His chosen ones away, neither to leave them nor forsake them, and bless His name He never will. He'll never break His covenant with us. I'd like you to turn, please, to Isaiah 54. Here this covenant is mentioned once again. Isaiah 54, verse 8. In a little wrath I hid my face from thee for a moment, but with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith the Lord, thy Redeemer. For this is as the waters of Noah unto me. For as I have sworn that the waters of Noah should no more go over the earth, there's Noah's covenant. So have I sworn that I would not be wroth with thee, nor rebuke thee, there's the covenant of grace. For the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord that hath mercy on thee. That covenant of grace. The Lord says it will never be removed. He says the mountains shall depart and the hills may be removed, but my covenant with my people will never be removed. It will never be forsaken. There it is called the covenant of peace. And of course, we have peace through the blood of the cross. We have peace in Jesus Christ. And the covenant of grace brings us peace. And we are able to rest in that, knowing that that covenant will never be broken. That gives us peace. Knowing that God will never forsake us. He'll never cast us away. He'll never cast us into hell with the ungodly. He'll always be with us. That gives us peace. Then we have the covenant and its impact. For again, if you turn to the 9th chapter of Genesis, we know there in our text, verse 16, the bow shall be in the cloud, and I will look upon it, and that I may remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is upon the earth. And so there were others who benefited from the covenant that God made with Noah. For in verse 9, the Lord said, and I, behold, I establish my covenant with you, so the Lord has promised never to destroy the world again by way of a flood. Then that benefits the creatures of God's creation as well. But with regard to the covenant of grace that is typified for us here, you note that God said, I, behold, I establish my covenant with you and with your seed, with your children after you. And so Noah's children benefited from that covenant. So it is with the covenant of grace. God in His grace has saved us from our sins, and our children benefit from that. Because if God had not have saved us from our sins, then our children would have been brought up in an ungodly home. Our children would not have had the benefit of the preaching of the Word of God, of the prayers of God's people. So it is with the covenant of grace. And we thank God. Because of the covenant of grace made between God and His people, the children of God's people receive some benefits from that covenant also. Because that those children of God's people are bathed in prayer, and they have the Word of God, the Scriptures, and they're brought in under the preaching of such as the covenant of grace. And then you have there also the appearance of the rainbow. Not only the announcement about the rainbow, but the appearance of the rainbow. Because after God had outlined to Noah the details of the covenant, the Lord then said to Noah that He would give him a token or give him a sign that he would not forget this covenant that God had made with him. And so the Lord told him that He would place His bow in a cloud. That's where we begin when we consider the appearance of the rainbow. Notice first of all the cloud and the rainbow. Verse 13, I do set my bow in the cloud. And again, verse 14, and it shall come to pass when I bring a cloud over the earth that the bow shall be seen in the cloud. Verse 16, and the bow shall be in the cloud. Each time the bow is mentioned, the cloud is mentioned also. This, of course, is natural. It's after the storm is over and the storm clouds are there and the sun begins to shine through, then that we see the rainbow. And it can remind us of that covenant that God made with Noah. Had the storm clouds gathered again, over Noah's head. He would have wondered, he would have been thinking, oh, there's another flood coming. And his generations after him, when the storm clouds gathered, they would have been thinking also, oh, there's another flood coming. But God said, I will put my bow in the cloud, so that when you see the bow, you will remember the covenant I made with Noah. And you will know also that I'm not going to destroy you by way of a flood. It'll be a token. It'll be a sign. You will know that the storm of God's judgment on the earth has passed. It'll never happen. That reminds us of the covenant of grace. Because the covenant of grace that God has made with His blood-bought, blood-washed people was made on the basis of Christ's sacrifice. And after Calvary, we can say the storm has passed. The storm of God's wrath and God's anger will never burst forth upon His people because it has been poured out upon Christ. Christ has gone through the storm on our behalf. And in the covenant of grace, God has declared, the storm of my wrath will never be poured out upon you. The storm. And as we sit at the Lord's table today, we'll be able to remember that the storm is over. Christ has paid the price. He has suffered all on the behalf of His people. He entered that storm. And bless God, He came forth triumphant and victorious. Now, whenever you think of this bow in the sky, it's interesting that the word here used for bow in Genesis 9 is the same word that is used for the weapons of war. The warrior would go into battle with his spear, his shield, and his bow. And so the bow is a weapon of war. When you look at the rainbow, there are no arrows. And there's no string to that bow. And the warrior, after the battle was over, and the victory won, he would take the string out of his bow, lay aside his arrows, and he would hang up the bow as a signal, as a symbol that the battle was over. The bow that God has placed in the sky is a bow without arrows and a bow without strings. The battle's over. There's no more war because Christ has entered that battle on our behalf and fought that battle on our behalf. And Jesus Christ has paid the price. He has purchased for us our salvation. And where there was war with God, and we battled against God, and we battled against the Word, when Jesus Christ won our hearts, the battle was over. And now, we are at peace. We are at peace with God. What did we read again in Isaiah 54 verse 10, but my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed. Where before there was the noise of battle, now there is perfect peace. And we rejoice in that covenant of grace. The Lord in that covenant of grace tells us that peace will never be disturbed.
have everlasting eternal peace in Jesus Christ. Next, we notice the contemplation of the rainbow. The Lord told Noah that when he would put the bow in the cloud, it would be seen. Look at verse 14. And it shall come to pass, when I bring a cloud over the earth, that the bow shall be seen in the cloud. Of course, the Lord wanted Noah to see the rainbow and would remind him of the covenant, that he would not have to go through the judgment again as he did when he was in the ark. But then look at verse 16. Our text. And the bow shall be in the cloud, and I will look upon it, that I may remember the everlasting covenant. And so not only does Noah and his children and those generations after him, not only will they look upon the rainbow, but we read here that whenever the rainbow appears, God looks upon it also. Noah could look upon that rainbow and take comfort in knowing that judgment would never come by way of a flood upon the earth ever again. He could be comforted by the sight of the rainbow. And God would look upon that rainbow. And remember, the covenant was made after Noah offered up the sacrifice, after Noah shed the blood of those animals that came with him out of the ark. Dear child of God, when we look at the covenant of grace and the tokens of the covenant of grace, we are comforted. And God also looks, and he looks upon his Son, and he looks upon his sacrifice. And we rejoice that that sacrifice and the blood of Jesus Christ speaks on our behalf. And because of the blood and the sacrifice and what Christ has done, then we are comforted and we are at peace, because God will never pour out his judgment upon us. Then you have the comfort and the rainbow. What a comfort it would have been to Noah when clouds gathered overhead for him to see the rainbow. Note how the Lord repeats his promise over and over and over again, 7 times in Genesis 9. He tells him about the covenant, and I've made this covenant with you, and I will not destroy you with the world, and I'll not destroy the world by means of the flood. He was comforted again and again and again and again. And my, how we need to be comforted again and again and again. To know that all is well, for when the accuser comes and he roars against us, why, it's good to look at the tokens of the covenant of grace, and to remember that all is well. Believer, as we come today and to sit at the table, we partake of the bread and the wine. We may be comforted today that even though the dark clouds of accusation may be gathering overhead, and the dark clouds of trouble may be all around us, it's comforting to know the everlasting covenant stands. God will not leave us. God will not forsake us. God will love us forever. The body, thy body, blessed Jesus, was broken for our sin. Thy blood divine in payment thou didst outpour for men. Though these sacred symbols no saving grace afford, by them we now remember thy saving death. Remember what Christ has done for us as we sit at the table today. And finally, you have the attractiveness of the rainbow. There is something very beautiful or attractive about a rainbow when it appears after the storm. It never ceases, never fails, rather, to get our attention. We think of the beauty of the rainbow. Colors of the rainbow are very attractive, and of course we know that there are 7 colors in the rainbow, speaking to us of something that is finished, something that is complete. As far as Noah was concerned, it meant that the judgment of God was finished, it was over. The flood would never come again. But for you and I, it means something else. It means that a greater work was finished. A greater work has been completed. For Jesus Christ entered that storm, and at the end of the storm, the rainbow appeared. And the words, "It is finished." The work is finished and complete. And we rest in that finished work. We notice also the glory of the rainbow. The rainbow is mentioned in 3 other places in Scripture. Ezekiel 1 and verse 28. And there in Ezekiel 1 and 28, it has reference to God's glory. Glory of God is seen in the rainbow, for we read in Ezekiel 1 and verse 28, "And as the appearance of the bow that is in the cloud in the day of rain, so was the appearance of the brightness round about. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And when I saw it, I fell upon my face, and I heard a voice of one that spake." So the rainbow would speak to us of God's glory. You cannot have a rainbow without light. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 16 tells us about the one who is light inapproachable, even God. And why, when we consider the rainbow, it reminded Noah of the glory of God and the everlasting covenant. When we today consider the bread and the wine, it speaks to us also of the glory of God and the everlasting covenant of grace. For we can only give God the glory for what He has done. And you have the eternity and the rainbow. John, Revelation 4, verse 3, and Revelation 10, verse 1 mentions the rainbow. Revelation 4, verse 3, there is a rainbow round the throne in heaven. Revelation 10, verse 1, you read there about the great angel. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. And we read that the rainbow is upon His head. Not round about Him, but the rainbow is on His head. He wears it as a crown. At Calvary, Jesus Christ wore the crown of the curse, for He wore a crown of thorns. But now He wears the crown of the covenant. And we'll be reminded of that wonderful covenant of grace for all eternity. When we look to Jesus Christ, we'll see the nail prints in His hands and in His feet. But we'll also see the crown He wears upon His head. It's the crown of the covenant. And we'll be reminded for all eternity that we were saved by grace alone. This is all my plea. Jesus died for sinful men. And Jesus died for me. We thank God for that covenant between God and His blood-washed people. we find God, it will never be broken. Let us remember it today as we come to remember the Lord. Let us bow our heads in prayer. Most gracious, loving Father and eternal God, we do thank Thee for Thy glorious, unchangeable, unalterable covenant of grace. The grace that saved us is the grace that keeps us, is the grace that sustains us, the grace that strengthens us. And O gracious Lord, we bless Thee that according to the terms of the covenant of grace, Thou will never forsake us. Thou will never leave us. Thou will never abandon us. Thou will never leave us comfortless. Thou will never cast us away. But Lord, Thou will take us to be with Thyself. And there in heaven again, we shall be reminded of that great covenant of grace. O Lord, help us to rejoice today in the grace of God. Even as we come to Thy table, O Lord, meet with us there. O gracious Lord, touch our hearts there. We handle the bread and the wine. O Lord, today, draw very near to us. Let us just remain here.